This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. My friends at the Literacy Volunteers of Illinois asked if I could remind everybody that the 25th Annual Tutor and Adult Learner Conference on the Road to Literacy is coming up on Saturday, April 9th. I know that sounds like a ways away, but they're very orderly, this group, and they wanted me to mention that. And it's a great conference, several workshops, and you can find more information and register for this. Just go to their website, lvillinois.org, and look for the On the Road to Literacy Conference. It's their 25th annual conference, so you'll be hearing me talk about that more in the upcoming weeks. Well, joining me now here in the Allstate Showcase studio is State Representative Mike Zalewski, Democrat from Riverside, who is the lead sponsor of legislation, should the House ever decide to reconvene, of legislation that would essentially legalize the issue of fantasy sports in Illinois. And, of course, we had Lisa Madigan's opinion that came out that said that it is a form of illegal gambling in the state. Representative, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
One question I have, since she issued this opinion, why can you still play fantasy sports in Illinois?
So the Attorney General in Illinois, her opinions are advisory in nature. They're not like Attorney General Schneiderman's in New York, and she doesn't have quite the same powers as the Massachusetts Attorney General. That being said, she interprets current law as daily fantasy sports being illegal. So under the existing law, her opinion exposed players to criminal liability. The operators went to court for a declaratory judgment, and their attorneys and her attorneys came to an agreement where they'd give the legislature probably about 6 months to June 27th to come up with some sort of policy solution. So that's where we are now. Everyone can continue to play until June 27th, and it's probably incumbent upon the General Assembly to figure it out by then.
So in the interest of full disclosure, one of my daughters works for a company that has a component that is a fantasy sports component. And obviously we've seen these companies explode, and you can't not see an ad for them anywhere, on a bus,
right,
on a, you know, on TV. I have to tell you, I've never played. What's the deal?
So daily fantasy is a little different than season-long fantasy. In daily fantasy, you sign up through your phone or through the computer, and you pay a fee, and you're allowed to enter sort of a pool. And you pick a lineup based on who you think is going to perform well that day. The NFL is the easiest example because they play every week and everyone kind of gets fantasy football. You're allotted a salary, and you have to pick the players you think are going to perform the best statistically in that week. You have the key in daily fantasy, the trick is to pick the players that nobody else picks because you have to allot your salary appropriately. So, in other words, everyone's going to pick Rob Gronkowski. Everybody's going to pick Tom Brady. You have to pick the quarterback that's going to have that great game that nobody else had. That's the idea behind daily fantasy. Whoever accrues the most points wins the prize pool at the end of the day. Now, there's a lot of things in daily fantasy world that are murky at best. We have to deal with how we're going to, align these lineup aggregators and people that enter these algorithms in the computer. But ultimately, it's incumbent upon the player to decide if they want to risk that money and try to beat another guy who can pick that best lineup.
So, I mean, one of the issues in gambling laws is skill versus chance.
Right.
And the skill being to pick the right player. But then there is a chance factor, as you said. You're looking for that player who's going to maybe have that breakout game that hasn't had one that nobody else is going to pick.
Correct.
So how do you kind of navigate through this in your legislation?
Well, the Attorney General's opinion, I think, lays out the issues incredibly well. She ultimately came to the conclusion that daily fantasy sports doesn't fit within the, one of what we have exceptions in the Illinois gambling law. We have exceptions for going on a riverboat casino. We have exceptions for playing horse racing. What the Daily Fantasy operators had said was we fit in one of these exceptions. She disagreed, and there's arguments on both sides. I wasn't surprised by her opinion. I ultimately think that she says in the closing paragraph, the legislature has to act here. They have to create if they want these sites to continue to operate in Illinois, they have to create a clear and concise exception for daily fantasy sports. And it's incumbent upon them to do it, because under current law, I don't think it's okay to play these sites going forward.
Well, indeed, you were exploring this legislation even before she came out with that opinion.
Right.
Because of the murkiness of the issue.
Exactly.
One of the things I'm curious about, and we saw this earlier among some of the major players in this, was the whole issue of employees of mm-hmm. these companies and playing each other's games or whatever kind of thing. And now, ostensibly, that's been banned by right. self-regulation. But what about some kind of comprehensive regulation? You know, you look at, you know, the gaming board and issues of background checks, those kinds of things. Shouldn't we have that kind of a thing for these people?
Well, what my bill does is several things. It creates that exception in gambling law to legalize it. It also is – it starts from a premise of best practices. So what we tried to do was codify what we would consider best practices for these sites to operate. We would want them to make sure underage players weren't playing. We would want them to protect the money once someone deposits their – initial entry fee into the account. We would want to make sure that there's a proper screening if anyone is owing child support to another parent, that money comes out first. Now, there's been a good faith argument made that my bill is too light on these operators, and I understand that. And we have a lot of work to do in the General Assembly to convince a lot of people that we need, you know, probably some good objective set of eyes on this to see what we can do to strengthen the bill. But my ultimate goal, I think, was to put forth a best practices bill that would be a good place to have a conversation, and then we can go from there and I can try to convince my colleagues. If they have input, they want to say this doesn't go far enough, come to me, mark up the bill, and we'll have these conversations. But I wanted to have a good starting point so that we could have a conversation going forward on what we can do to protect players while at the same time allowing people to enjoy the sites.
What, in the conversations you've had with some of your colleagues, I mean, what are you finding here?
I mean, well,
a recognition that this should be legal?
Yeah, I was at an event I introduced a bill on a Wednesday, and I went to an event with my colleagues on a Thursday night, and there's about 30 of us there. And I had to walk through what daily fantasy sports was, just like I did a minute ago with you. That was probably one half of the hour, 45 minutes of the hour, or an hour long. And then the other half was either people saying, I love fantasy sports. This is the best thing you could have done was make sure that these guys are continuing to operate in Illinois. And the other half of the conversation was, oh, I'm so sick of the ads. Make sure you come down hard on these guys. Like, I was spraying to all fields and – you know, no one had really wrapped their arms around what the bill was. So I have a lot of work to do in terms of convincing people this is a good consumer protection bill, but at the same time convincing people this is something that their constituents want. You know, we put out an online petition. We asked for some grassroots support because I think, you know, people – it came out in Uber a couple years ago, and it's coming out now. People don't like the government shutting down popular technologies. I mean, we live on phones right now. And people enjoy their phones and maybe to an unhealthy degree. But
thank you. I would chime in on that.
But ultimately, government has to start reconciling itself that technology is spinning way ahead of what we can catch up to. So rather than trying to ban it or shove it out of the way, let's just try to reconcile ourselves with it and put some consumer protections on the books and go forward from there.
We're speaking with State Representative Mike Zalewski, Democrat from Riverside, a member of the General Assembly, first elected in 2008. And we're talking about his legislation to formally legalize fantasy sports, daily fantasy sports in Illinois. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin on this chilly Sunday morning. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio with State Representative Mike Zalewski, Democrat from Riverside. We're talking about his legislation that would formally legalize fantasy sports in Illinois. We have an agreement between the firms, and this is we're talking about big business. I mean, you've got some of the pro leagues are investors in this.
The networks, the cable networks, there's a lot of people involved in these sites.
Well, given the big money apparently seen here, what about taxing? What about taxation issues?
You know, we've had that conversation numerous times now. I continue to say we can't even begin to try to tax this or to have that discussion until we wrap our arms around what it is. It's one of the criticisms I think it's rightfully so in Springfield is we always try to tax something before we always put the cart before the horse on the revenue discussion. I really truly think that if we can put a good law on the books and make it consumer friendly and make sure that everyone's concerns are assuaged and at the same time keep the technology operating in Illinois. I think my colleagues will weigh in, and they'll want to probably see a revenue discussion being had. But right now, my focus is on good regulatory policy. Ultimately, I know that conversation on revenue has to be had, but my focus right now has to be squarely on what can we do to bring these guys, keep these sites operating in Illinois.
Keep them into some kind of compliance.
Correct.
I mean, part of me looks at that $1.3 billion Powerball jackpot, yes, and going, maybe the state should just invest some money in some tickets here, and we might be able to cover a few things here with a lack of a budget. But I mean, certainly, I've got to figure there is a bit of pushback from existing gambling interests in Illinois, the riverboats, the video poker guys,
you
that
know,
kind of thing.
So far, not publicly, Rick. I mean, they might privately have. They'd be saying, like, this is, we don't want the market competition. It's important to remember that, like we talked about earlier, this technology is not designed to be competitive with video poker at your neighborhood tavern or craps tables at the riverboats. It's designed to be played on your couch watching football, hockey, basketball, and baseball. It's designed to be a running mate to watching sports. So I don't think that they
almost a form of social media.
Yeah, almost a form of social media. Exactly. They shouldn't view it as competition. If they do, that's regrettable. And I'm not naive to think they won't. But my hope is that they realize that there's different demographics for these things. And the demographic for daily fantasy sports, to me, is wildly different than a lottery player playing a Powerball ticket or someone going to a neighborhood tavern and playing video poker.
You mean just the younger demographic?
Yeah, younger sports fans, statistically motivated. You know, you don't – the theory behind daily fantasy is – and again, we have to reconcile some of the data that's come out about these lineup aggregators and these statistical models being put in. But ultimately, the theory is I watch enough football. I watch enough basketball. I pay attention enough to the stats to think that I have at least a reasonable chance of doing better than the guy watching the same game across town. So that's different than thinking you can beat the house at blackjack or thinking that you can put $5 in a video poker machine and get that straight flush.
It's how everybody can is better than the analysts that you watch.
Well, everyone thinks we know who's going to have a good game that day.
I want to turn our attention in the closing minutes here to Springfield.
Sure.
And, you know, obviously, as I mentioned, the House was supposed to be in, and now that's been pushed back to, I think, January 23rd.
State of the state, and the 2 weeks from Wednesday.
Yeah. So, I mean, one is even to get that legislation moving, it's not going to happen anytime soon. But two, And you were here listening to my conversation with Bill Ruthart from the Tribune about this, the escalation of rhetoric going on between Governor Rauner and Mayor Emanuel. And I think you tend to disagree with Mr. Ruthart and I that these are two guys that the rhetoric really doesn't matter, that, you know, even though the deepening of it, I think, does kind of point to where do we go next here?
Well, I think the governor continues to be frustrated, and he was elected to be a change agent and to change the trajectory of the state government. And I think he's frustrated that, by and large, majorities, both Republican and Democrats in both chambers, just do not align with some of the turnaround items that he wants to see become law. I mean, he has the opportunity to sign a privatization of DECO bill. He would have had the opportunity to do a workers' compensation law that would have brought a causation standard to Illinois for the first time. He would have had the opportunity to freeze property taxes for 2 years. Those are all things that I would have considered to be good first steps in a Republican governor's first year in this state. Ultimately, he has a different viewpoint on that, and I respect it, but we need a budget. And as long as there continues to be this focus on things that ultimately I don't think he's ever going to see 60 votes in the House and 30 votes in the Senate on, we're going to be in this stalemate. Now, we can go down to Springfield and continue to yell at ourselves, at each other, and have votes where some vote yes, some vote present, some vote no. But that's not a good return on investment for taxpayers. If the governor doesn't want to see revenue in a budget until he gets his turnaround items, then we should just do a budget without revenue. But we need a budget, and we need to move forward from this stalemate that we're in right now.
But aren't we in so deep now, approaching 7 months without a budget for this budget year, that to do a budget without revenue, we can't do?
Well, I think you're seeing fiscal year 16's budget. You've seen what's risen to the surface of ability for the state to pay. Now, it's a lousy budget, and it's nothing anyone in the General Assembly can be proud of. But we're on this autopilot, and the lapse period between the time we're going to be able to pay our bills and the time that the bills come in with the controller is going to be awful, and eventually we're going to start that lapse period may become unbearable. But, you know, higher ed hasn't been funded for fiscal year 16. There's a real good chance that truth may become reality. There's a lot of social service providers that have been contractually obligated to pay to do their services that are not getting paid. That's a budget reality. We've got fiscal year 16 budget, regrettably, almost done. We've got to move on almost to fiscal year 17 at this point.
Well, and of course, that's what we're kind of looking at, is the governor getting ready to prepare a fiscal 2017 budget. Is this maybe a good time to consider maybe we do budgeting for 2 years instead of 1 year in this state?
I think we ultimately, when the final deal is reached, we will have done a 2-year budget.
But make it consistent.
Make it consistent, sure. We have a lot of work to do in budgeting in Illinois. A 2-year budget is something that certainly should be considered to make sure we never have to go through this again.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, right.
We'll see. And quite frankly, you know, as I've said before, people are looking at November to sew up 2016 and you know, perhaps 2017, because of now we've entered the political year, and I don't see how the dynamics make it that much easier to get anything done.
They don't.
Some heartening words there from State Representative Mike Zaluski, Democrat from Riverside. Thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Rick.
We'll be back with more right after this.